Your new album, like that has John Mayer playing guitar, singing backup on a couple of songs. You have that duet with Jordan Sparks. What was it like working with them?
It was great. Look, it's not every day, you know, as an Australian artist that you get to mix with those likes of, you know, such hugely, you know, widely acclaimed artists like John and like Jordan. I mean, they're worldwide, you know, artists. So it was very cool, really, really cool. I mean, John, he didn't have to do it. You know, he just came in and believed in the project. And I've met John a bunch of times through a mutual friend who plays guitar for him, David Ryan Harris. And we've got along great. And John was very generous. I mean, he came in. He was only going to come in and possibly play a guitar solo. He came in and he jammed on like three tunes and sung background vocals. And was just a really cool dude, like a really great, generous bloke. And Jordan, you know, that was a very last minute addition to the album. I'd written the song and sort of thought, you know, this would be perfect for Jordan. I love her voice, but I never thought of asking her. I went through some other options first because I thought there's no way she's going to do it. And a couple of things fell through, and they were just like local artists in Australia. And then I thought, you know what? I wrote this song with Jordan in mind. I'm just going to shoot to the stars and go for it. And she said yes straight away. So that was a really cool thing. She doesn't, you know, she doesn't often do it, but she, you know, basically she liked the song and it was great, really, really fun.
Okay, is there anyone else that you'd particularly like to work with in the future? And if so, why?
Oh man, I mean, I love collaborating with anyone, really. I just love this industry. I love that side of it where, you know, creative people get together. And so it's not like I'm thinking about the obvious things. I mean, obviously it'd be unbelievable to do an Alicia Keys collaboration or a Beyonce collaboration or, you know, even, you know, people like Travis McCoy or you know, those kind of people. Like, I think that'd be a really cool fit. But I guess I'm open to anything. I mean, that's a really cool thing about music at the moment is people are collaborating left, right, and centre, and they're not always artists that you think would collaborate together. And it's an exciting time in music.
Okay, considering that, do you kind of want to spill the beans a little bit on any guilty pleasure musicians, like anyone that, you know, Guy Sebastian listens to and is like, I don't know if I should tell anyone that I listen to these guys.
Oh my gosh, I mean, there's so many, not that I'm ashamed of,
people that wouldn't expect you to listen to them.
Well, the first CD, the first song I ever bought, the album I ever bought was New Kids on the Block, and man, I was like obsessed with that record, you know, Valentine Girl, The Right Stuff. I was right into that, and I was also actually into a gospel artist, Michael W. Smith. Like growing up, I was singing at church and stuff, and Michael W. Smith heavily influenced me, and even people like Kirk Franklin. But otherwise, man, like my main influences were like Sam Cooke, Otis Redding, Al Green, that kind of vibe. I'm really into old soul music, and with my music, it's really trying to get a marriage of keeping that old soul influence, but trying to get a modern take on it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, considering that your album definitely has a soul kind of pop and R&B feel to it, what was your thinking when you went into the studio? What was the flavor you wanted to kind of kick off for this album?
I wanted to be true to the song that I'd written, because, I mean, as a songwriter, you always picture how the songs are going to end up, but basically my vision was to have really, cutting-edge, you know, modern beats, you know, drum sounds, and I wasn't shy of maybe chucking in a synth here and there, and I guess not being afraid to marry a little bit of electronic influence, but still have a great band playing underneath it, you know, and still have great, good arrangements, good string arrangements and good horn arrangements and things like that, so that it's not just purely, you know, you know, something that could have been done in someone's bedroom on a little, you know, sound card and a laptop. You know, it's kind of, it's got a bit more depth to it. I've utilized great musicians, but wasn't afraid to add some electronic elements.
Okay, what are your expectations for this album? It's been out for a couple of months now. What are you looking to accomplish?
I'd love for it to sell, I would love just for my music to get out there organically. I'm in no rush. I'm shooting a TV show in Australia, so it makes it very hard actually at the moment. But come November, I'll be finished with that, and my focus is just to get back here, write more music, and tour this album, and just get on the road and play, and get people knowing about what I do, and hopefully getting people to enjoy what I do, and so yeah, I think playing live is the key.
Okay, speaking of your show, you're a judge on a show in Australia called X Factor. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. Look, it's just it's very similar to Idol. It's Simon Cowell's show, and I won the first Australian Idol, which is just like American Idol over in Australia, and I was on the first series of that and ended up winning that, and 7 or 8 years later I got asked to be a judge, which is weird. I've done 5 albums in Australia and had a very blessed time over there as far as my career goes. I've been very blessed and very fortunate, and so yeah, it was kind of weird. I said no a couple of times because I had just moved to LA to kind of concentrate on my music here, and then this phone call came up, but we shifted stuff around, and finally, you know, I said yes, and so thrilled to be part of it. I mean, it's not every day you get to do that, but it's definitely a different hat that I've ever had to play, you know, having the same note of people, like, who, you know, you're basically just shattering people, and it was really, I don't know, really tough doing that to some people, because I've never had to play that role. I've always been, well, I write songs, and I make people feel good, I make people happy. When people come to the show, I sing as good as I can, and I sing my butt off, you know, like, I try and give 100%, and everyone goes away generally, you know, hopefully satisfied, but I've never had to kind of be the dream crasher, you know. it's been really tough, but I guess it's good in a way as well, because you're sometimes helping people to realize that what they're trying to achieve is a little unrealistic with what they are equipped with.
Okay, speaking of what, you know, you were trying to achieve, do you ever have a moment growing up where you said to yourself that you wanted to be a musician? Was there a moment that kind of made everything come together and make you realize that you had to have kind of a singular focus, or did you kind of jump into music with both feet? How did that happen?
Well, I guess for me it was a little bit convoluted growing up, because I always, you know, and I had very loving and very supportive parents who, whatever I chose, I know they would have been extremely supportive, but you know, growing up, there's this, in a small town especially, there's like a mentality of, you know, music, it's great, it's good for a little hobby, but make sure you study hard and you get a proper job, you know, like a proper career. And so that was always in the back of my mind, because I was told that my whole life, that, you know, there's a lot of odds against you, and you most likely will fail. So it's kind of, you know, growing up, I thought, now I better have some other options. And I thought, you know, I was heavily into sport growing up and played sort of a lot of cricket and a lot of AFL football, Australian rules football, which is kind of like your NFL, but without padding. We're a bit stupid over there and don't regard personal safety very much in what we do. But then I studied pretty hard, and I got into a good uni course at college, course called medical radiation, and specialised in radiotherapy, funnily enough, which is, you know, delivery of radiation to, you know, most of the cancer patients. But I soon quit that. I just couldn't do it. I did it for a few years and got to this stage where I was about to start working in it, and I couldn't live in myself. Music just was too important in my life, so I quit, and I was in this limbo for a little while, where I was trying to get my career going, you know, trying to get demos. I don't know, it was kind of a really odd time, but one which was real character building, and then suddenly he came to show that I had no idea about. I'd never seen an episode of it because it was new. It was the first one in Australia, and I tried out and won. You know, it was insane. I couldn't believe that I even got through the first round, let alone a week. And here I am, living in LA in the sunshine and living the dream. You know, it's insane. I'd never taken for granted.
And speaking of you know, the United States, you've been on tour pretty much all summer. What's that been like?
It's been great. I've been doing a whole lot of West Coast shows, and you know, it's great watching it slowly build, and a few more people come the next time. And I've played sort of 4 or 5 hotel cafe gigs here in LA, and it's really good. I think all I need next is just a real strong push, maybe at radio or something like that, to really get the stuff out there. And yeah, I think that's the next focus, is just to get a little bit of radio support, and hopefully that'll happen.
Okay, I mean, considering the fact that you're a pretty big success in Australia, where you're from originally, what would you say to other musicians that are trying to, you know, go from where they come from to the United States? How are things different?
I would say, most of all, humble yourself, and if you really want it, you're going to have to do that. Like, it's extremely humbling. I mean, I play sold-out arenas and theatres and stuff back in Australia. You know, like, I perform to thousands of people in a show, and I'm not saying that to sound arrogant. I'm just saying, like, I've built up my career to a certain point over there. And I would say, yeah, that's probably the biggest point, because, you know, there's a lot of artists who are much huger than me, you know, in the UK and throughout the world, and you know, I can name a bunch of them who have tried to come over here, and some that I even know, and who suddenly try it, and they're playing at, what, I'm playing at Hotel Cafe, or what, I'm playing at, you know, a cafe, Hotel Utah, or whatever, and there's, what, 10 people there, and what, I don't have a dressing room, and what, I don't, you know, it's kind of, it's that whole vibe where it's, start at the bottom again, and some people think, well, I've got money and I've got success in my home territory and I've got a little bit of notoriety there, why do I want to be a nobody again? It can be very discouraging, you know, when you've tasted, I guess, of that fruit. But I think if you love music and that's your focus, then you don't care about that stuff, and you're hungry for more people to hear your art, and you want your art to make another person smile in another different territory, or you know, help, you know, you want someone to hear that ballad that you wrote that you know, sort of takes them back to that moment when they, you know, lost their loved one or whatever, or, you know, you want people to be affected by your music. And I think if that's your drive, you don't care where you play, you don't care what level you're starting at, as long as you're playing. And I think that's where I'm at the moment. It's just, you know, I've been doing it for 8 years, which isn't that long, but long enough for me to just need another challenge and just be hungry to have other people hear my music and hopefully like it.